So this morning, as we continue talking about David and the fact that heart matters, we're going to talk about broken dreams. Okay? Broken dreams. Have you ever had a big dream in your life? Okay? Something really, really big that you were focusing on and you were dreaming about that was going to govern really your life. I had a really big dream back when I was a junior in high school. My dream was to be a Virginia State Trooper. That was all I wanted to do. And everything that I did from that point on was focused on that dream. Okay? I had it all laid out as to what I was going to do. When I proposed to Cindy, I was a city police officer in Newport News, and I told her then, I said, I'm a policeman. I'm always going to be a policeman. I don't want to do anything else in my life except be a policeman. And if you can accept that, I want you to marry me. And, of course, you see, she accepted that. Only one problem with that picture. I'm not a policeman anymore. About 3.5 years after I got on the state police, which I absolutely loved, I loved being a trooper. My dream was fulfilled, and I loved being a trooper. About 3.5 years after that, I went to her one day and I said, remember what I told you when I proposed to you about being a policeman the rest of my life? She said, uh-huh. I said, how would you feel about being married to a preacher? She said, the same thing she said when I first proposed to her, whatever you want to do is fine with me. Say, yes. 38 years later, she's still putting up with me, policeman or preacher. Okay? That was my big dream. And I went to her and I talked to her about that I just felt this calling to get into ministry. By the way, one thing I failed to mention to you was when I was a junior in high school, I was in a high school seminary studying to be a priest. Okay? Here's a little bit of nostalgia. Some of you will recognize the background of that picture. Okay? Back in the good old days. Alright? I came up with a plan when I felt that calling that God wanted me in ministry. I figured it all out. And my plan was along this line. I was going to enroll in the Sunset School of Preaching, which, by the way, is the school that our students are doing now, part of the satellite school. Back then it was Sunset School of Preaching. Now it is the International Bible Institute. But my goal was, or my plan rather, was that I was going to start taking correspondence courses. Okay? And then when I got through all those correspondence courses, then I could quit the state police and hopefully get a preaching job. And I enrolled in the very first course. I started working on it. And it didn't take me long to realize, and I told Cindy, I said, this isn't going to work. I said, at the rate that I'm going with working shift work and all that was going on, I said, it'll take me forever just to finish this one course. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I ever did finish it. And I told her, I said, I looked into this, I said, what I'm going to have to do, if I'm going to do this, go into ministry, then I need to cut the cord here. I need to leave the state police. I need to do this full time and go to school. So we put a plan together to go to Lubbock, Texas and enroll in the Sunset School of Preaching, which was a 2-year program back then. And that's what we were going to do. And I was going to get a degree in preaching and we were going to go into the ministry. So we sent out letters to all of our friends and family and everybody asking them for financial support because we had to raise all of our financial support on our own to do that. Guess how much money we got? Zero. None. Not one dime of support did we get. Yeah, from some of you church people that were there at the time. Didn't want to see us go, I guess. No, I think actually what it was is that God had a better plan for us. See, I had this all worked out and what was going to happen. And then, you know, it wasn't working the way I had planned, and I was getting a little bit discouraged. And then one day, God sent a group of people from Ohio Valley College there to the Cameron Avenue Church where we were attending. And I got a chance to talk with the dean of students there, who offered me, he found out what I wanted to do, and he offered me a position at the college as a dorm supervisor, where I would get half off on my tuition, all of my room and board free. And the way it ended up happening, this shows you how great God works out his plans. At the end of each semester I was there, the school ended up paying me money. Okay? Because of scholarships and grants and so forth. Isn't God wonderful how he works? See, I had a plan, but God had a better plan. And as they say, the rest is history. We went off to Ohio Valley College. It's Ohio Valley University now. Went off to Ohio Valley College, where I received my bachelor's degree in preaching and ministry, and began preaching some 35 years ago. And y'all are stuck with me now. That was God's better plan, they say. But you know, sometimes dreams don't always come true, do they? Okay. The psalmist tells us this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But wait a minute. What about all of those broken dreams? Have you ever had any? Have you ever put together some dreams and them only to fall apart? They're broken, shattered to pieces, and you wonder what happened? Okay, well, here's a question. Does that psalm, is that just an empty promise if I'm supposed to get the delight of my heart? What is it really telling me all about, and how does that fit into the broken dreams that we sometimes have in our lives? I think that the psalmist assumes that delight in the Lord will give our hearts the right kind of desires. And that's an important thing to remember when it comes to our dreams, you see, the right kind of desire. See, there are some desires that aren't the right kind, and we dream about things, and then there are those that are the right kind, and God wants to bless us with the right kind of desires that we have. Another way to consider that is this, that as we grow in Him, that is in Christ, God-like desires will shape our dreams. Say, and therefore then God will give us those desires, the desires of our heart, because they are His desires for us within our lives. Well, let's talk about David. David had a dream. Okay? David had a big dream. Right? It's interesting that dreams oftentimes come at the quiet times in our lives, or the quiet seasons in our lives, when everything seems to be going along the way that it should, and life is grand and life is good. We have time to kind of sit back and dream, so to speak. In the quiet times of our lives is where those dreams just seem to flow out of us. And that was, I think, true with David. If you go to the scripture that was read for us as we began this morning, in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says, after the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. So you see, David was in this quiet season of his life. You know, in our previous studies, if you recall, we were looking at times when David was running for his life. There was no quietness there. When Saul, the king of Israel at the time, was pursuing David to kill him. And David was running here and running there. And we even saw how he ran and lived with the enemy for a while. But now the kingdom had been given in its totality to David as the king of all of Israel. And things were at peace. And so David had time to dream. So David says to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent. Remember, in a previous lesson, we talked about David bringing the Ark of God there to Jerusalem and the story of Uzzah and how Uzzah reached out his hand and touched the Ark, and he died there on the spot. Well, David, later on, as we saw in that lesson, got the Ark there, and he had a tent that was pitched and set up for the Ark. And now David, in this quiet season in his life, when everything was going well, David began to contemplate and look at his situation and to say, here I am in this palace, in this wonderful palace that I'm living in, and God's presence is out in a tent. That should not be. David knew, he looks back on his life and he knew that God had put him where he was, to be the king of all of Israel. And now it was time for David to do this thing for God. What was that thing? It was to build a temple. To place the Ark of God, which would be God's very presence. No longer living in a tent, but to have a proper temple, a house for God. That was David's big dream. Okay? Nathan encouraged David. And he said to him, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. Isn't it good to have friends and family to encourage us in our dreams when we have them? Somebody that comes along and says, I like that dream, go for it. And that's really what Nathan was doing here. Telling David, go for it. Not only that, but God's with you in this dream. Go ahead and make it happen, David. But as you continue reading on in the story, It tells us that God had something even better in mind for David. David had a big dream to be able to build this temple and to glorify God by this temple. But God says, wait a minute, I've got something even better in mind, David. That night, it tells us, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And look at what it says. Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I've not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers who I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? God's saying, Did I ever come up with this? In fact, it may be said that God is saying to David, in a sense, through Nathan, that's a nice idea, David, but where did you get it from? I didn't give that idea to you. It wasn't that it was a bad idea for David to want to build a temple for God, to have this dream. It just wasn't God's idea. Okay. In fact, if you go over to Chronicles, after Solomon, David's son, built the temple, and we'll talk more about that part in just a moment, Solomon, in his address to the Israelites, told the people what God's feelings were at that time for David's dream. Look at what he says. The Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. In other words, God recognized where David's heart was. That he had a heart for God and he wanted to do something special. He had this big dream to glorify God in this fantastic, magnificent way. And God recognized David's heart in that dream. But God says, I'm going to do even more than you dreamed, David. Now think about this. Look along with what's happening. The Lord declares, to go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Okay, do you see what's happening here? David had a dream, okay, and he says, I want to build a house for God. Okay, but God says, no, I'm going to build your house, David. Yeah. Yeah. A better plan, a better dream that God had for David. David wanted to glorify God, but God wants to praise and honor David. What kind of an awesome God is that? You see? What kind of an awesome God is that? Look at this. In verses 12 and 13 and verse 16, through the prophet Nathan, God continues on telling David this. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Do you see what's happening here? David says, I want to build a house for God, and God says, I'm going to build your house, and I'm going to make it last forever. You see, God was, first of all, in that, referring to Solomon, who we mentioned a moment ago, actually built the temple in Jerusalem for God. Okay? But God also built a kingdom that would last forever. And Jesus Christ, even today, still sits on David's throne in that kingdom. You see? That God promised David that he would build him a kingdom that would last forever. And that kingdom is going on right now. It is the church. And Jesus sits on the throne as the head, the king, the Lord of lords, the King of kings of that kingdom. You see, really what it's about is that God's dream for David completely dwarfed David's dream. Okay. Completely dwarfed. God had such a better plan for David. What about David's response to God's better? Okay. Stop and think about this. Let this sink in for just a moment. Because you see, many people respond to broken dreams with a lot of bitterness. Have you ever had a broken dream? And how did you respond to it when it didn't work out the way you had dreamt and the way that you had planned and worked everything out and so forth? How did you respond to the broken dreams? And how have you responded to the broken dreams in your life? There are people who get very bitter, and they ought to wear a sign around them like this, warning. I'm bitter because my dreams did not come true. Some people get angry at God because their dreams were shattered. And they don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. They blame God because their dreams did not come true. And there are those who question God's motives when their dreams are not fulfilled. Why, God? Why did you do this for me? Why didn't this work out? Why couldn't you let this happen? And that's oftentimes how we respond and react to God's plans in our lives. Some will even allow bitterness to overtake their heart and drive them completely away from God altogether. What did David do? Okay. David allowed God to redirect his dreams. Here's a question for you to think about. Why be bitter when God redirects your life? Okay? When we stop and think about it, you know, God, sometimes he's got something a whole lot better for us. We just have to wait for it. Maybe sometimes that's the problem, is we don't want to wait. Okay? It's a matter of learning to trust in God. Allow God's plans, which are so much better than ours, to work out to their fullness. David, look at his heart when he was forced to face his shattered dreams. Look at what happened with David. King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, I love this passage, okay? He says, who am I, Sovereign Lord, that and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, Sovereign Lord, look at this, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. In other words, David is saying to God, God, it's not enough that you brought me from this mere shepherd boy, a part of this family that I was of, out of a little known town called Bethlehem. You brought me and put me in the palace of a king. But look at what else you have done. You have spoken about my future. Look at this next part that he says here. Is this your usual way of dealing with man? I love that. God, is that how you normally, God, you're dealing with people, with men? Is that what you normally do? Is you take people who are nothing and you make something magnificent out of them? And God would say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because that's what he does. That's what he does with his creation. He takes us from where we are and makes us what he wants us to be. Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of God that we have. You see, I think sometimes we don't dream big enough. You see? Not according to the way God dreams. We don't dream big enough. And God says, I've got so much more in store for you if you will just let me have my way with you. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame, and the splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, look at what he says here, I will make preparations for it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. You go over to 1 Chronicles, and what you read there is that David, and God had explained to David why he didn't want him to be the one to build his temple. Okay? And he told him that Solomon, his son, was going to be the one to do it. And David made preparations where he gathered all the best stone cutters, all the best masons, all the right workers, and all the materials. He had all of that planned and prepared ahead of time so that when Solomon would become king, he could follow through with what was to be done. What God was tasking Solomon to do, not David. Apostle Paul tells you and I this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
You believe that? Amen. You cannot out-imagine God. And you cannot see all the magnificent things that God has in store for you and your life. You see, I think one of the problems that we oftentimes have is that we look at where we are now, and we look sometimes at the problems that we have and the struggles that we have, and we say, oh, woe is me, and we fail to look at what God can do with us and for us if we would just allow him to have it. He's got plans for us that we can't even imagine or see. And he will work those plans in our lives. Why? Because we're so good? No. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Better plan better future. That's really what it's all about. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of big dreams in my life. And as I've already explained to you, one of the biggest dreams that God took that and he took it and made it what he wanted it to be. I've got other dreams in my life, things that I can see myself doing, would like to do, and so forth. But the one thing that I have learned is to allow God to work his plans in my life. The challenge that I'm issuing for every one of you this morning is to do the same thing. Allow God to show you what he has in store for you. Allow God to work his plans for your future in your life, wherever you are, wherever you come from. And to be honest with you, every single one of us comes from sin, don't we? That's where we start. We allow God to take us and mold us and make us to be what he wants us to be and to work his plans, his glorious, wonderful plans in our lives. They work out better for us and they bring glory to him. But like David, we have to have the right heart. Why? Because heart matters. So think about David's plans, David's dreams, and how God took those dreams and turned them completely around and blessed David for all of this life, this world's existence. Okay. What can God do with you if you will allow him to work his dreams and his plans in your life? There may be somebody here this morning who has not yet even given your life to Christ. You need to understand and recognize that you are still lost in your sins and separated from God by those sins. The great news for you this morning is that in God's infinite love, his plan was to reconcile you to himself. And he worked that plan out through the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross. So you have the great blessing of the opportunity to be saved from your sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. There may be someone else here this morning who's struggling with plans or dreams or whatever that have been broken or shattered, and you're struggling perhaps with how to respond and how to react to those. Don't allow bitterness to rob you of the joy that God wants to give you. If maybe that's something going on in your life, let us help you with it. So that you can truly enjoy the blessings that God wants you to have. If there's something else that's going on in your life that you need prayers for, guidance, teaching, whatever it might be, help, then we offer an opportunity for you to come and let us know about that so we can do what needs to be done. That's what we're here for as family. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him there. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who'd like to come up and share with us. Let's stand together and sing. Bless you.